GBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the
ABC
Civic Media
News
app.
I'm Jim Ryan. New Jersey Governor Bob Menendez will hold a news conference today and speak to reporters for the first time since his indictment on corruption charges. He and his wife have court appearances on Wednesday. Not much movement on averting a government shutdown in Washington. But there is a tentative deal in place to resolve the writer's strike in Hollywood. ABC's Kana Whitworth is there.
We saw marathon negotiations over the weekend, and now the two sides reaching this tentative deal. It's a 3-year contract that still has to be approved by the guild, but the picketing is suspended immediately.
Members of the United Auto Workers Union also are on strike. Their picket lines expanded last week. This week, both President Biden and former President Trump will visit striking Michigan workers. They'll be there on different days. This is the first day that people from parts of fire-ravaged Lahaina will be allowed back to see the remains of their homes since the deadly wildfires that devastated the city earlier this summer. This is ABC News. Italian media report that the organized crime boss who was captured after decades on the run has died in a prison hospital.
Italian mafia boss Messina Denaro was arrested in January and had been serving time in an Italian maximum security prison. He was recently transferred to a hospital as he suffered from cancer, his condition worsening in the last few weeks. Italian media has called him the last godfather. He was convicted for planning the 1992 murders of anti-mafia prosecutors Giovanni Falcone and Paolo Borsellino. He was also held responsible for bombings in Rome, Florence, and Milan in 1993 that killed 10 people. Denaro was 61. Inez Del Equitare, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
The European Union today announced it's blocking Booking.com and Priceline's parent company from acquiring a Swedish flight booking provider. The European Commission says the company's proposed $1.8 billion deal for a Travelly group would lead to higher costs for hotels and have a negative impact for consumers. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
Does it seem like you're driving in circles a lot? Well, here in Wisconsin, we are. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says Wisconsin leads the nation in roundabouts. There are 554 roundabouts in Wisconsin, 287 on state highways, and 267 on roads. Roundabouts are primarily found in the eastern and southern parts of the state, with Green Bay and the Fox Valley well represented. The Federal Highway Administration says roundabouts help prevent head-on and left-turn crashes and get drivers to slow down in general. A fan favorite at the new zoo and adventure park has passed away. Zoo officials say Todd the elk died unexpectedly due to complications from an abdominal hernia earlier this month. The elk was humanely euthanized Friday, September 15th. Zoo staff say Todd was beloved by all, even when he had a sassy attitude.
Pete Schwabe for the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about five minutes.
Whoever was excited, then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Yes, we're going to use lethal force. Yes, we reserve the right to operate.
He clearly stated he would go in and they'd slaughter the cartel and they would be killing everywhere. He used that verbiage.
Unless Mexico invites us to send our troops into their country, it's essentially under international law tantamount to an act of war to send troops into a country without the invitation of the country.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Okay, I gotta confess, she's not a new mom yet. We're on baby watch, and so far, no reports from the home front. And so LJ, little Jane, hasn't come just yet. And if she doesn't come on her own, she will be here. They're going to induce on Wednesday. So we will certainly keep everybody posted. I know a lot of people are curious and concerned and excited for Kristen. So we will absolutely give you updates as they come in. It's going to be a busy show today. I'm so excited to have our first guest, and he's going to be joining us every Monday in the first hour from 10 to 11, the one and only Todd Albaugh from the same named show, the Todd Albaugh Show, from 1 to 3 p.m. on the Civic Media Network. Hey there, buddy. How you doing?
Jane, Greg, I am absolutely fantastic. I'm coming to you live from Eau Claire, from my sister and brother-in-law's kitchen, because I'm up here. I'm up here today. I'm going to do our show here. I'm going to see Garrison Keillor tonight at the new Pablo Center, a beautiful, beautiful civic arts facility. And I thought, wouldn't it be lovely if I did the show from the banks of the Eau Claire River and have the bridge in the background? And so I went down and set it all up. And by golly, there was no electricity in the outlet.
No.
And so I packed everything back up.
Oh,
and I got back to their house with about 5 minutes to spare. So that's the way Todd's day has started.
Oh, lovely. Well, you look good. I love your sister's kitchen. It looks looks like a wonderful place.
They're great cooks.
Also, coming up this hour, our own Civic Media's Mike Clemens is going to join us at 11:20 with a recap of yesterday's Packer comeback from behind, their 18-17 win. And then at 11:33, Robin Grams with the City of Waukesha will be here to talk about Walktober Wine Walk. So that should be a lot of fun. But right now, we're going to jump right into it. Geez, Todd, so much corruption, so little time.
Right?
It was remarkable. It was a busy weekend. And I guess the latest one, of course, is Senator Bob Menendez from New Jersey, a Democrat, reportedly will announce his 2024 re-election bid during a press conference today. And that is his first public appearance since his latest indictment. And this is a doozy.
This is crazy.
This is a doozy. In an unsealed indictment Friday in the Southern District of New York, he allegedly agreed to use his official position to benefit three New Jersey businessmen and Egypt's government in exchange for hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes. The indictment also charges his wife and the three businessmen in the years-long bribery scheme. Federal prosecutors say the bribes included gold bars, cash, and a luxury convertible.
That's great, you know? I mean, if you can get it, it's pretty good work.
I guess, but what is astonishing to me, unless I've missed something, there's only New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy and Senator John Fetterman, right, are the only ones who have essentially called for Menendez to resign.
Those are the only two I've seen so far. I mean, I think there was a lot of people within the Democratic Party over the weekend that called for his resignation. But as far as elected officials, it's just remarkable, right, Jane? I mean, how, you know, protecting power is not necessarily classified to one party or the other. We've called it out on our show. I know you guys have called it out on your show. I mean, it doesn't matter what party you're in. Corruption is corruption. And I saw the Senator Kelly from Arizona, who's up for re-election next year. I think he's a great guy, great senator. He was on, I believe, Face the Nation yesterday, asked directly by Margaret Brennan if he thought that Menendez should step down. And he gave kind of this mealy-mouthed answer. Well, I think he should very seriously consider looking at, you know, what it means to the voters. Look, I learned a long time ago working in the state capitol from Senator Tim Cullen, Democrat, retired majority leader. He used to tell me, Todd, anytime a politician tells you anything other than a no, it's a yes. And anything other than a yes is a no.
It's a no.
So, I mean, these people need to grow a spine. I mean, Democrats are starting to look like Susan Collins up there in Maine. A strongly worded letter.
Yeah. Oh, and which is so, gosh, that's painful. You know, that right. really carries so much weight when you rebuke someone and say they were naughty. Again, we have due process. There is a reason for that. But the appearance of this is unbelievably bad. I mean, they found wads of cash stuffed in his suits. They found wads of cash and envelopes stuffed in his Senate jacket, which I guess is kind of nice. You know where your bank is.
Right.
Lots of cash on hand. I mean, wasn't it something like $480,000, Todd?
Yeah. And gold bullion, like actual gold bars. I mean, this is not mutually exclusive here. I mean, like you say, everybody is proven or innocent, presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. But the evidence is overwhelming. I mean, it's almost like finding classified documents in your bathroom. It's close. It's close.
And one might say that is problematic also. Yet
you would think.
What? Yet for some, it just seems to be that this is how we do business now.
Yeah. But kudos to the governor of New Jersey, a Democrat as well, for saying that he should step down. And that's the thing, that if this guy would just step down, you'd have a Democratic governor appoint another Democratic senator, so it would not, you know, give Republicans control in the U.S. Senate. It really comes down to just doing the right thing, in my opinion.
Well, and it's doing the right thing, though, Todd. Do we just not do that anymore? 844-967-2789. Is doing the right thing just nostalgia now? Is it just nostalgic? And we just let them slide for as long as they want?
You hope not. I think there are still good people in the Senate. But again, it's remarkable to me that when you have something like this happen, how much the party system rallies around each other. We've seen it. I think, to be fair, in my opinion, I think in the case of Trump, you've seen a lot fewer Republicans call for him not to run or these ineligible. I will give Democrats, mainstream Democrats, credit for calling Menendez out. I think there's a lot of activists, a lot of party faithful who are saying, look, this guy just needs to step down. But again, other than Senator Fetterman of Pennsylvania and the governor of New Jersey, I don't see a lot of Democrats just willing to, you know, call it the way it is.
Which is amazing to me because, and this is not the same thing, but Al Franken was forced to resign,
right,
by his fellow Democrats, and it was a tasteless joke from many years ago, and I'm not excusing what he did. It was a different time. That's a whole other discussion. But is it just we're inundated with so much rotten now that we can't even keep it straight? It's just Clarence Thomas is another one. Supreme Court Justice. Every week, it seems like the news that comes out about him is worse and worse and worse. We have my favorite, Lauren Bobo Boebert from Colorado, who was caught groping her date while he was groping her at a live theater show And her excuse over the weekend was, it's been 20 years since she's been dating, and they didn't have infrared cameras back then. So now she's on the alert that when you do things in public, people can see you.
It's remarkable. I mean, was it Ocean's 11? There's a line in there at some point where Julia Roberts says, you know, there's always cameras or there's always somebody watching. You know, that's the society that we live in today. And I think beyond that, Jane, it's just, what do they say? Character is what you do when nobody's watching.
Absolutely.
And so, I think that shows her character. And look, what people do in their private life, I'm certainly not a perfect person. But I think it's the hypocrisy, right? When you start calling out people, you start saying, I'm the person that's going to uphold family values. When you're attacking other people for who they are and judging them, and then you're doing the same stuff or sometimes even worse behind closed doors, or you thought it was behind closed doors.
Yeah, yeah. And it is, Todd. It's the hypocrisy. But again, I almost think we are becoming immune to it because it's just so widespread and so frequent. The stories come out almost daily, it seems, about bad behavior, and nothing happens. You can chime in anytime. You can text and or call at 844-967-2789. Texter from the 312, Tammy Baldwin, needs to call for Menendez's resignation. I think it would help her in Wisconsin. I don't think it would hurt.
No, I mean, you know, there's all this, you know, once you get to the Senate, you know, there's all this collegial thing. Well, it's not really my place to go after someone else. Well, you know, maybe it kind of is. Maybe again, it's about setting an example. I agree with you, Jane. It's not going to hurt her, certainly, if she would do that.
Somebody's got to do something. And again, he will go through due process. He did resign, I understand, because he was on a pretty important committee, is my understanding. And he did resign from that on Friday, but he is adamant that he's not going to resign from Congress. And I just don't get it. Do we not expect better behavior from the people who represent
Jane,
us?
If you're talking, I can't hear you. If you're talking to me, for some reason, I've lost you. I will keep working on my end.
All right,
but
Greg,
I can't
Bach?
Hear you right now. But
I don't know if you heard that.
You keep on going because you're lovely.
I will keep going as we try and get this little issue figured out with Todd Alba, who is joining us via StreamYard. Talking about Clarence Thomas, his corruption, the apparent corruption of Bob Menendez, who is a Democrat from New Jersey. There was a story not too long ago about Corey Lewandowski, who was a Trump campaign manager, having an affair with Kristi Noem, who is the governor of South Dakota, and now there's more controversy surrounding him because a major donor is demanding his money back because Lewandowski is now working for someone running for office in Louisiana, and it turns out that this donor's former wife was on the receiving end of unwanted sexual advances by Lewandowski in 2021. So every day there's just more and more and more. Check in with us. Let us know what you think. Do we just not care about corruption anymore? Is it all just fine? 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Don't go away on the Civic Media Radio Network. I fought the law.
Protect your family from radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free test kit at newradon.com. That's newradon.com.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready.
It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for isolated rain showers this afternoon. Otherwise, overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 72. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tonight, lows level off around 59. Cloudy skies. Chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow, highs around 67. Cloudy skies expected. High of 65. Wednesday, chance for scattered rain showers. 65 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 68.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
On maternity leave, no baby news yet. Once we hear any baby news, we will absolutely pass it along to you. You can always check in at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We are talking about Democratic Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey, indicted last week for allegedly taking bribes and gold bars and wads of cash in order to do favors for the Egyptian government. And my question is, do we just not care about corruption anymore? Is it just so endemic that this is just the cause of doing the cost of doing business? Todd Alba is here. Greg Bach is running the board. And we have Tom on the phone. Good morning, Tom. What do you think? Are we just immune to corruption and bad behavior now?
Good morning, Jane. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. I have a question for Todd. Todd, what Supreme Court case do you think it is that brought about this unlimited spending on campaigns and brought money into the political system more so than ever?
Todd, now we can't hear you.
Todd, you there?
There you go. Nope, Todd, we still can't hear you.
Can you hear me
there
now?
There he is. Okay.
All right, fantastic.
All right.
I appreciate the question, Tom. I would say it was Citizens United, right? The Supreme Court case that basically said money is speech.
Okay, and what political party or what was it the conservative Supreme Court or was it a progressive or a liberal Supreme Court that actually decided that case?
Well, it would have been a swing vote. I mean, you had Kennedy on there, so I mean, it would have been a slightly conservative Supreme Court.
Okay. So what I'm trying to say here is that the Democrats seem to have, through H.R. 1, they've tried to get money out of politics. If Hillary Clinton would have been actually put in, or if she would have actually won her election, we actually would have turned back Citizens United. Money in politics is at the root of all of this corruption. And we, the people, need to actually not be fighting for every other issue under the sun, but we need to fight to get money out of politics. Because until we do, we don't restore government back to we, the people. And that is the thread that actually holds all of this other stuff, whether it's gun legislation or gun safety, or whether it's a woman's right to choose, or whether it's gay rights, whether it's, you know, whatever it is under the sun, whether it is mortgage and Medicare for all of this stuff. We the people want certain policies that are not happening because of the fact of Citizens United and because of the conservative Supreme Court decision of Citizens United. So I just want people to really realize that money in politics is what's causing this problem, and it's the greed of money in politics. So I would just ask for any of my Republican friends out there, please, you know what, when you're in the booth, vote for Democrats, because even though we got someone like a Menendez today, this whole thing is about corruption, and this whole thing is about money in politics. And I would just ask that you guys all just vote Democratic, and let's get the money out of politics, because the candidate, whether the candidate is a Democrat or Republican, it actually says they want to get money out of politics completely, is the person that probably will have my vote. But there's only one party that has actually been trying to get money out of politics, and that is the Democratic Party.
Thank you so much for the call, Tom. We really appreciate it. As always, 844-967-2789. I don't disagree that Citizens United and this unlimited dark money is a big part of the problem. I just don't know that there is anyone who is going to vote against being able to accept wads of cash on either side of the aisle.
No, I agree. I mean, as a former Republican, I agree that Citizens United was a terrible decision by a mostly, you know, a slightly conservative Supreme Court, and I wish we could do something about it until, you know, you pass legislation, and quite frankly, until you have a different the Supreme Court has compromised different folks, it's going to be pretty hard to overturn that. I would simply point out that, yes, I think that certainly Republicans are responsible for putting Donald Trump in and having this very conservative court. But remember, Jane, you know, I had a coffee shop at the time in Madison in 2016, and in Wisconsin, you had 23,000 presumably progressives and Democrats that said, you know, I want to send Hillary a message. So they voted for Jill Stein, and Donald Trump won Wisconsin by about 23,000 votes. I mean, if you had had every progressive and Democrat who voted for Jill Stein or a third-party candidate in 2016, Hillary Clinton would probably be on her second term, and she would have appointed three progressives to the Supreme Court.
844-967-2789. Robin and Brian, I know you're on the line, so if you can hang just for a little bit, we do have a break coming up in about a minute and a half. We'd love to hear what you think about it. You can call and or text anytime, 844-967-2789. Corruption in politics, is it? Do we even care anymore? Is it a thing? Or is it just so commonplace now that that's how we do biz here in the United States, which is kind of disturbing? 844-967-2789. Todd Alba is here. Greg Bach is on the board. I'm Jane Matnair, filling in for Kristen Bry. We will be back and take your calls right after this. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez holding a press conference today, speaking to reporters as he faces calls from some in his own party to step down. Menendez and his wife will be arraigned Wednesday on corruption charges. There's now less than a week to go until a possible government shutdown. ABC senior congressional correspondent Rachel Scott says hardline House Republicans are refusing to budge on even a short-term spending package.
Allies to House Speaker Kevin McCarthy are now floating a proposal that would fund the government for the next 30 to 45 days, impose deeper spending cuts and also stricter border policies. But any deal would have to win over not only the far right of their conference, but also Democrats in the Senate. And right now, that doesn't appear to do either.
There is a tentative deal in the Hollywood writers' strike. If it's ratified, writers would go back to work 146 days after they walked off the job for better residuals, streaming revenues, and protections against AI-generated content. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
The Green Bay Police Department is asking for your help to find a missing man. 75-year-old Thomas Van Lannen has been missing since 5:30 a.m. this morning when he left his home on the west side near St. Mary's Hospital. The GBPD says Thomas was wearing a navy blue jacket and red, white, and blue pajama pants. If you have helpful information, please contact the Green Bay Police Department. The city of De Pere might be getting a new high school. De Pere schools are dealing with overcrowding, especially its intermediate and middle schools, and high school is nearly full. A task force met several times over the summer and is expected to propose a new school with a capacity of 1,800 students. The campus would be built on green space between the current high school and Dickinson Elementary School. The total price tag for the proposed project would be $206 million and would require a referendum. Pete Schwabe for the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 News.
Here's to trekking through a kaleidoscope of fall color in Wisconsin. To being like, who's up for whitewater rafting? And turning stories into souvenirs. Here's to rich traditions made new again with good company. And seasonal flavors that taste even better when shared with friends. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your fall getaway at travelwisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Welcome back. All right. Well, there it's gone. Okay. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Jane Mattner in for Kristen Bry, who is out on maternity leave. We are taking your calls at 844-967-2789 on whether or not do we even care about corruption anymore with the latest news about Democratic Senator Bob Menendez from New Jersey being indicted for alleged bribery on behalf of the Egyptian government. So do we just not care anymore? Robin has been waiting on the line. Thank you for your patience, Robin from Milwaukee. I'm curious, what do you think? Is this just
how we do business now?
No, I mean, I don't think so. I think there's kind of a different standard between, you know, we seem to have gotten inoculated that, you know, everything is a scandal these days. Like, you know, this Lauren Boebert situation or whatever. I don't care. You know, I'm not Alanis Morissette. I don't care what someone does in a theater. It does kind of indicate that she's stupid, but that's confirming priors anyway. But this Bob, everybody's kind of known he's been corrupt for a little while. And what, you know, people, Democrats and on the left, they should probably do is just, you know, kind of back up their talk. I mean, we're the group that got rid of Al Franken for a picture. But what I like to go back to is, you know, Blagojevich was removed from office 1998 and basically until a certain somebody pardoned him. And, you know, as a public servant, like, you know, corruption is just awful. And I think there's a huge line when you start talking about whether, you know, people are taking, you know, payola and all that sort of stuff. And so now the previous caller was talking about money and politics, and, you know, that's certainly a really huge issue. I don't know how you solve it. The last thing was like McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, I think one way is just to, like, a lot of it is systemic election things, that our elections go on so long, it takes so much money to run and to sustain a huge campaign and whatnot. They're just not really easy fixes. I think a lot of the easy fixes turn out to be actually worse policy ideas than the problem that they're trying to solve. But I think we need to, you know, avoid, like, just be the, set the high bar and, you know, and police our own, because they surely aren't. That's all I got.
Oh, all right. Appreciate that, Robin. And by the way, Jimmy on the live stream gives you a shout out for that awesome Alanis Morissette reference. So nicely done in working that in there. 844-967-2789. You can call, you can text, you can also leave a message on the live stream if you are watching us on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter. Brian is on the phone from Iguanago. Hey, Brian, what do you think about corruption in politics, just the way we do things now?
Unfortunately, it kind of seems like that's become, par for the course. Kind of like when white-collar crimes happen, like hedge funds, commit fraud, where they take in billions of dollars and get fined millions of dollars. It's, for them, it's the cost of doing business. And if this Menendez guy doesn't feel like he now needs to step down for, I mean, granted, I guess due process, he should have his day in court and whatnot. But if he does get proven that he accepted bribery, absolutely, should either be stepped down or removed from office. And to piggyback on some of the other callers, they mentioned that, you know, we need to start voting blue to get, as many of these people that we can out of office so that we can actually enact change and bring up policy to help, you know, help this country move forward. For once, it feels like we haven't been, not for once, but I mean, it feels like it's been a while since we've taken steps to actually move forward. It seems like we're just dancing around all these different topics without enacting any type of change. But the one thing I will say this, and I'm going to try and vote blue as much as I can, because the Republican Party has obviously shown that they could not care less about the American people. And especially, I'm in Wisconsin, and I see it every day how much they do not care. That these Democrats need to know that they, you know, can't play both sides like that. Like, because one thing, Citizens United is helping both sides, both Republicans and Democrats. It's kind of uncanny. They come into office and leave office many times richer than they should have been. And to be like a United States Senator or something, like $200,000 salary, that's more than enough money for them to be able to do their job. But, not only do we need to stop things or get rid of Citizens United, but, like, we need to enact policies to where politicians cannot be trading with inside information on the stock market. It's just, it blows my mind that that's still a thing that's allowed to happen. And you see it's not necessarily talked about as much or in the mainstream news, but there's so much going on both sides of the aisle that we absolutely need to get money out of politics. It's probably, like the last caller said, not an easy task, but there has to be a way because nothing's going to improve until that happens because greed will always win out.
Unfortunately,
and,
yeah.
That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Brian. Really appreciate it. I don't disagree with you. Yes, it sure does seem like greed will always win. Todd, let's go back and describe what it was that Citizens United did, because they did, they decided that corporations are people,
and correct. that money is speech,
and money is speech, and therefore, if corporations can't spend as much money as they want on the candidate of their choice, then therefore their speech is being denied. Is that accurate?
That's the essence of it. And remember, there is a Wisconsin connection because this all stemmed from a piece of legislation called McCain-Feingold, where the late Senator John McCain, Republican of Arizona, worked with former U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, Democrat Russ Feingold, and they wrote the bipartisan McCain-Feingold bill, which reformed and limited how much people could spend in elections, candidates. And that was challenged in this Citizens United case, and the Supreme Court at the time, again, a slightly conservative court, basically said, no, you can't limit through legislation, Congress, what people can spend because there needs to be a town square, and everybody has to have a voice in the town square, and you're limiting the speech. And I'll be honest, I'll be forthright. You know, that was years ago as a former Republican. I agreed with that decision at the time. But as I saw things progress, what happened was the person's voice without the most money got drowned out. So you can go to the town square and you can stand on the soapbox and talk, but what about the guy who comes along with a truck and a sound system,
yep,
and they can't hear you anymore?
Yep.
So it ended up being a terrible decision. Russ Feingold and John McCain were right, and it's completely changed the course of American politics. If I could just add really quickly, Jane and Greg, I don't think that wanting Menendez to step down and voting Democratic are mutually exclusive. You can do both. I mean, as a former Republican, yes, I'm voting for Joe Biden, and yes, I'm voting straight Democratic because I feel that's the party that still is in favor of small-d democracy, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't and can't call out bad actors.
Absolutely, and I think people are tired of that. I really do. I think people are tired of the constant free passes that our politicians get and corporations get. The problem with getting money out of politics and undoing Citizens United, as Brian just said, is that politicians on both sides of the aisle are getting rich off of this. So there is no motivation for them to ever change this.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And again, if you try to pass legislation, it's going to go into the Supreme Court. I would find it hard to believe that the current Supreme Court would undo Citizens United based on who's on there. One of the things, if I could just real quick, Jane, this is from Politico back in 2008. Yes, I'm taking you back to 2008. This is fantastic. Talk about irony. John Boehner, former Speaker of the House, John Boehner,
oh, John
Republican.
John Boehner, sure.
Yes, John Boehner wrote a letter to his colleagues, a memo, back in 2008. When William Jefferson, remember William, not that William Jefferson, but William Jefferson was a Democrat in Louisiana, very popular. He got caught he was indicted on bribery charges and found with $90,000 in cash in his freezer, stuffed in Pillsbury pie boxes. Didn't turn out well for him. And the Republican went in there and beat him on these charges. And the guy who beat him, his name was Joseph Cao, C-A-O. And so Boehner writes this memo called The Time Is Cow. And he goes on and says that Republicans will take over Congress and find a way forward by focusing on ethics, ethics, ethics.
Oh, please.
How the times have changed, right?
Oh, my gosh.
But everything is circular, right? Everything is circular.
Tony Zerbin checking in on the stream says, who doesn't have $90,000 in their freezer? I know.
Right.
I'd like to. I don't, but I could try having $90,000 in my freezer.
Right,
yeah. Also, texture from the 310, there's only one party that has tried to get money out of politics. Again, I think it's been kind of a half-hearted attempt to get money out of politics, because this is benefiting people on both sides of the aisle. Look at somebody like Kristen Sinema. Look at some of these first-term Congress people. Didn't she have a negative? Kristen Sinema, I want to say, had a negative balance when she went into Congress, and now she's her net worth is over $1 million. I mean, that's a pretty good gig.
Even look recently past Ada Deer, who was a great politician, a great Native American here in Wisconsin, a leader, and ran against my former boss, Scott Klug. It was his first opponent in 1992, I believe. And she made the pledge. Her big line was, I don't take PAC money. She said, I'm going to be a different politician. I'm not going to take PAC money. Well, she lost big time. Now, I wouldn't say that's the only reason. I don't think that she was as good a candidate when you put her against Scott Klug, a former television guy. Her messaging just wasn't that great. She was a good candidate, but just there were other reasons. But the fact is, to your point, when politicians of both the right and the left decide, no, I'm going to do it the right way, again, your voice gets drowned out if the other side doesn't agree to play by the same rules.
Yeah, you make a great point, Todd. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. If you want to check in on this, and this, again, all stems from Democratic Senator Bob Menendez on Friday being indicted on some pretty juicy charges of bribery and corruption. And not only did he have more than $90,000 in cash in his house, not even in his freezer, but a number of gold bars as well, right? Which, again, seems like a pretty good gig if you can get it.
How do you defend that? I mean, how do you? Well, I just happen to have him sitting. It's, I mean, even the cash, I guess you can say, well, I'm old fashioned. Instead of burying it in a coffee can in the backyard, I put it in the freezer. But gold, who the heck has gold bars?
Just lying around, you know, as
right.
As one does. Well, we're gonna move on when we come back from this break. And I want to talk, Todd, and we've been talking a lot about this and it also across several different shows on civic media. Calling your lawmakers, does it really make a difference? How many callers does it take to make a difference? What if you're the person who calls them every day? Do they look at you like, it's Louie from, you know, Shibui is calling again. Let's just ignore him. So we'll talk about that on the other side. Does contacting your lawmaker really do anything? 844-967-2789. Jane Matnier in for Kristen Bry. Todd Alba is here. Greg Bach is on the board. And this is As Goes Wisconsin. You're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been
this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 72. With daytime highs approaching 73. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers. Tonight, lows level off around 59. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast. Tomorrow, chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 67. Chance for scattered showers. Wednesday, with highs in the mid-60s. Mainly cloudy. Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 69.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Yeehaw, and welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Jane Matnair, in for Kristen Bry. Todd Alba is here. You can hear him across the Civic Media Radio Network every weekday from 1 to 3 o'clock. And the wonderful Greg Bach is on the board. Kristen out on maternity leave. No news to tell anybody yet. We will pass it along as soon as we get some. So, Todd, I wanted you worked for a state lawmaker for many years. And there's been speculation that one of the reasons why Robin Voss actually seemed to blink a little bit about impeaching newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz was because there was so much pushback. And I'm curious, as someone who worked in an office, having constituents call, does that really make a difference? Does it really cut through, or do they just, like I always like to characterize them, stick their fingers in their ears and go, la, 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 la?
Let me give you a really political answer. It depends.
Oh, it depends. I mean, yes. If the callers like what they're doing, then they listen.
No, I think, first of all, I think that you're right that I think that Speaker Voss did pull back a little bit, at least temporarily, on this ridiculous impeachment proceedings against Justice Protasiewicz, in part because not so much he got calls, but because key members of his caucus got calls. And I think that's the key. As a former legislative staffer for both the state legislature and Congress, your boss or a staff, you don't really, to be blunt, you don't care about the calls that come from outside your district. So if you're living in Green Bay and you're ticked off at Robin Voss and you call his office, you know, unless you're from Burlington or his assembly district, I mean, it's a little bit different when you're in a leadership like that, because you're getting sent to your caucus. But for individual elected officials, you really care about the people who are in your district, because those are the people who are either going to extend your career or end it.
Right.
And so I would say if you're frustrated or if you're happy, call the person who represents you, because that will have an effect. Usually, if you're a competent staff, you'll at least keep a tally of you know, for or against, so you can tell your boss, well, how are the calls looking? You know, the first thing you'll say is, well, is that from the district or not?
Okay.
And so that's the key, is to call, you know, from your district.
So my giving out Robin Voss's phone number on a daily basis isn't really going to matter unless those people call him who are from his district.
It'll make you feel better. Sure. I mean, my boss was a Senate majority leader, and we used to get some calls, you know, as a majority leader. And I think that gives you a better sense of your caucus. But it has a lot more effect if you call directly to whomever represents you in either the assembly or the Senate.
And what about—
Doesn't mean you're not— Go ahead.
And what about those who might call every day? Do you just, after a month of that, do you just tend to blow them off as a policymaker? Oh, it's Ralph again, you know, complaining about.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're calling every single day for the same reason, at some point, it's just like, okay, we get it. I think it has a lot more effect if, I've seen this happen in local school referendum races, where people create phone call trees. Let's call like 10 to get 10. So you get 10 people to call, 10 of your friends to call in. And it has a lot more effect if you do that than if it's the same person calling every single day.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'll tell you the one thing that has almost, well, I shouldn't say none, has very little effect are these postcards that different, you know, organizations make up and say, oh, just put your legislator's name on it and sign it and send it in. What happens is that's done by an intern. It gets put in a stack, a form letter is written, and all those addresses go into a database. And there's a form letter that gets sent out. So, I mean, generally speaking. So, again, a lot of that is sometimes they'll be separated out between in-district and out-of-district. And sometimes the out-of-districts aren't even looked at or responded to. So it really comes down to the best thing you could do is either call, make it a competent, don't yell at people answering the phone.
Don't swear.
Because that has completely the opposite negative effect. But be kind, be polite. You can be direct, be honest. And the first thing to do is say, look, I'm Todd Allball, and you know, I'm represented by Senator so-and-so. Here's my street address. Because that'll get their attention. And say, here's where I live. And then this is how I feel. Don't go on for 5 or 10 minutes. Make it a 90-second, 2-minute call at the most and say, I appreciate you taking this down. Please pass it on to your boss. And have a good day.
And as you said too, Todd, if you do that, then you get 10 of your friends to do that individually. And then they all get another 10 friends to do that individually. That might actually make an impression.
Yeah. Also, people might find this interesting. Snail mail, a handwritten letter, because you get so few of them today. And writing a well-written, again, half a page, one page, handwritten letter and signing it, that will break through the clutter almost more than anything else.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Because
all we get is, look at me, I say we. All they're getting are emails and phone calls. I mean, the number of actual handwritten, when I first started working the legislature in the 90s, of course, that's all you got. And now, post the internet, you hardly ever get one. So when you do, it really stands out. And again, not form written, not by a lobbyist, not by an organization.
Right.
In your own words, that has a very powerful impact on a legislator and the staff.
Yeah, just don't cut out all the letters from like a magazine or a newspaper and then tape them together right. And send it
I'll tell you, during Act 10, we got some terrible stuff. And my boss was the only senator Republican that voted no on it. But we got some terrible, we actually had to evacuate one time because we had bomb threats in our office. But our office was getting inundated by callers all over the country to the point where we could no longer do legislative business because I think there were 4 phone lines and you just pick it, you'd hang it up to try to, because of course you're still trying to do constituent casework, like calling the DOT for a road. You couldn't even get a line out. So we were having to do all of our business on our personal cell phones.
Wow.
Well, and at that point, it does no good because it's like, you're just messing up my day.
Sure, exactly. Well, thank you for the insight. Thank you for joining us for this first hour, Todd Allba. I really, really appreciate it. We will have you back with us next Monday.
You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. Great. And best to Kristen and Mike as they kick off parenthood.
We will keep everybody posted. Todd Allba, make sure you catch him today from 1 to 3 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks a lot, buddy. Really appreciate it. Coming up next hour, we are going to talk about unusual pets. We're going to talk Packers victory with Mike Clemens, and we're going to talk about wine. Should all be good.
Oh, I'm missing wine?
You're missing wine. So stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media.